In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Good morning. Jim Hoffman, a guy from EMSSEO.com. I wanted to take a minute today, and I want to read. I'm getting a message on my phone now. Oh, I'm live again. I don't know why I keep doing that to me. Well, I want to take a minute today. I want to read you some more about this book, Buff to Burnt. And I want to remind you that this book was done in 2005 when George wrote this book. And I want to kind of talk about that after I read this one little area here about his first year in the city. He says, I started working in the city after being a paramedic for about 2 years. I still have a lot to learn. The paramedics in Rockland and Westchester, that's where he worked before, have helped me a lot. However, the call volume was low, and I still needed more experience to know what I'm doing. The city is so different from where I grew up. The area that I'm working is the Lower East Side. This area has lots of homeless people. Tompkins Square Park, that's a location in the Lower East Side, is full of all kinds of people who are on drugs or drunk. Shootings and stabbings around here are not unusual. Heroin is a big problem at this time. I can't believe how many overdoses I handle in just 1 hour. Doing 3 heroin overdoses in an 8-hour tour was a routine day. One day, I basically saved one guy twice in 1 hour. First, I pick him up about 8 o'clock. He's blue. His respiratory rate was about 4 per minute, and he was on the verge of going into cardiac arrest. We shoot him with 2 milligrams of Narcan, and he's fine. He stays in the emergency room for 3 hours, and then he leaves. About an hour later, I get another call for him. The same exact situation. He's blue. Slow respirations, and again, on the verge of cardiac arrest. We give him the 2 of Narcan, and then back to the hospital. I'm very excited about working here in the big city. To me, this is the big league. I still work part-time up here in Westchester and Rockland. I love telling the others that I'm a medic in the city. I don't tell them I'm nervous. I don't tell them how the senior medics let me know that I'm a rookie. To the city medics, working in Westchester or Rockland was nothing. Only time of the city medic counted. In my defense, people's anatomy is the same, whether up in the country or in the big city, but I'll keep that comment to myself. I will admit that I was intimidated when patients who were on drugs or drunk would get violent. Trying to deal with junkies and people who are drunk, there's no reasoning with them. Most of the time, in order for you to get them into the ambulance or onto the stretcher, you have to physically put them there. I was very scared that they might hurt me. Using force on someone was new to me, and these people were tough, and I am not. My thoughts are that I am a nice guy trying to help you. Why would you try to hurt me? Being a relatively new paramedic, I was eager to buff calls. I was always listening to both the police and the emergency radio, ready to chase after any call that sounded like something good. I still carry all my equipment like the rookie medic I am, still going over the protocols in my mind as we rush to the different assignments, thinking, or more hoping, I guess, that at the call with dispatch 2, I would be able to use my training and maybe save a life. I like that that chapter, guys, because I think it kind of does a few things, and I think something that we should be thinking about. One is, he talks about heroin overdoses being very common, having few in one shift. And I worked with George. I worked in that area as well. And I recall that it was a very, very high heroin overdose area. And you think about, this book was done in 2005, and now we're 2019. And the discussion about these types of overdoses is still going on. It's still talking about how it's such an epidemic, such an issue right in the country. The treatment it's basically still the same. We're still giving Narcan to these patients. But we're not hammering home at 2 milligrams, like George mentions in the book, right? Most of the time now, it's 0.4 milligram, and we titrate that until the patient's respiratory rate increases, right? We're not hammering home that 2 milligrams anymore. The other thing I think was important that George mentioned too, and this is something that I still do, something that I encourage you to do as well, is when you get assigned these calls, right, you should be in your mind going over that protocol, going over your transport options, your treatment options, okay, that's unique to where you practice, okay? The time to think about the dosages for a pediatric seizure, let's say, okay, is not when you have to start giving the drug on the scene, right? Think about that on the way to the call. If you don't know it or don't recall it, you should have something on your phone, a PDF of your protocols, that will go ahead and let you look that dosage up, right? Look up your treatment options if you are totally drawing a blank for that type of a call. So I think George makes some good points there when it comes to both, you know, the reviewing of protocols and guidelines and treatment and transport options and things like that. But also, I think it's important for us to kind of note that a lot of things in EMS have not changed since 2005, right? A lot of things are the same. There might be some tweaks that are going on. So a lot of things do say the same. And I am on board with George as well. I've worked in several big cities. I've worked in rural areas and country areas. And I'm on board with George. The patients that call 911 aren't any different depending upon where you live. The call volume might be higher in a city environment, right? But the patients are calling 911, their anatomy, most of your treatment is pretty consistent across the board wherever you go. The dosages might be a little different here and there. You might have another option open to you in certain areas where you work. But it doesn't mean that the patient themselves is going to be different. Your assessment is going to be the same, right? Your mentality of how you're going to treat that patient is going to be the same, especially when we talk about monitoring, transporting, and keeping an eye on what's going on with the patient, okay? So that's kind of my takeaway. You know, I like reading these chapters from these books because I feel like even though the chapters only may be, I don't know, 3 paragraphs, 4 paragraphs long, I think it really points out some key elements in EMS that we need to keep an eye on at all times, right? Doesn't matter how long it's been going on. Like I said, this book was in 2005, but so much of what George mentions, right, still carries over to today, okay? So just some stuff there, guys, to mention. And again, this goes into even something I kind of push all the time is the TurboMedic members area, right? It's a way to build your knowledge. It's a way to stay on top of the stuff so that you are ready when these calls come in. If that's something you're interested in, I put a link in the text here, guys. You can get a trial membership at TurboMedic. You can go to emsseo.com/turbo. You can get a trial membership for that if you think that's something that might benefit you when it comes to building your knowledge and being a better provider, better clinician, and understanding what you're doing for your patients, okay, without having to go get a college degree. Anyway, let me end it there, guys. I hope if you're joining me live, great, but I hope you go back and watch this from the beginning. Listen to that paragraph with George. And see if the takeaways that I'm coming with kind of relate to what you're doing out there in the field as well. All right, guys, that's it for me. As always, I am Jim Hoffman for emsseo.com. Stay safe, man.